their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen in Jacksonville at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our joy and delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion on the issue of the day. We're excited about the issue that we'll be discovering and talking about today. We're talking about ABC's fake fact checkers. ABC News, fake fact checkers. By the way, you know, ABC is owned by Disney. We see from the debate, so-called debate, that Disney is 100% political and standing behind Comrade Kamala Harris in the election that we're faced with. In fact, let me remind you, and I'll say so several times during the course of this broadcast today, the voters' decision at about 50 days plus November the 5th, about 50 days, the voters' decision at the ballot box will determine the destiny of the United States of America. That's a powerful statement. Did you realize that your vote, my vote, our vote, will absolutely determine whether America will continue to be a constitutional republic or if we'll go down in the history books as a failed nation and go down in the history books and the, if you please, the sawdust of history as being a dictator, third world nation in the final days of America. That's an awesome thought that in just 50 plus days, the destiny of America will be determined. And I say that because it is imperative for every Christian conservative, that's every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot, to recognize the need to vote early voting on November the 5th, voting day. By the way, just for your information, if you're not aware of it and hadn't heard me say before, I believe we ought to have a federal holiday on Election Day. The National Election Day should be a federal holiday. Every place of business is closed. You have one full day of voting. No mail-in voting. No fake ballots. No drop boxes. Simply you go in person and vote. All voting to be by hand, filled out by hand, and then counted by human eyes, not the fake, phony, false, cheater electronic devices that's used today. Perhaps you say, sounds like you think the elections are fraudulent. Absolutely, unequivocally. I think it's been years and years and years and years and years again since we had a real, true election. But the fraud is getting greater and greater each and every year. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say today that as we face the issues, we need to recognize our awesome responsibility as citizens. And as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus makes a statement, "I am truth." John 17:17, the word of God is proclaimed as being truth. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." May we recognize that, ladies. There's no such thing as your truth, my truth. It is a singularity of truth, and anything that deviates from that is a half-truth, and a half-truth is a whole lie. The secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made a powerful statement. He said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And truth matters. It continues to matter even today. And what we witnessed in the so-called tri-party debate, that was the ABC anchors, moderators, and Trump, and Kamala Harris. That was three against one. Was that a real honest debate? We'll talk about that in this broadcast today. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we face it based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth that we ought to look at. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, made a powerful statement. He said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's been my mantra on this broadcast for about 10 years now. And I believe that we need to recognize that is so vital and so needed in society today. In fact, it was John Huss making the statements about truth. And as he was being burned at the stake, he screamed out, truth shall prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, truth shall prevail. May not see the ultimate end result of the truth in our lifetime. May not see the ultimate end result of truth before the rapture of the church. But truth shall prevail, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, the centrality of truth, will rule and reign. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is conveniently located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. It's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing at the top of that flagpole. Find the flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, after a brief monologue, our telephone lines will be open. We'll invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. We've got a very special friend that's a guest on our show several times in the past. Looking forward to introducing him in just a moment as we talk about this subject that I believe we ought to look at, analyze, and discover what is factual. We're talking about ABC's fact check, fake fact checkers. Ladies and gentlemen, they opened the discussion about the so-called Trump-Harris debate. It was it fair to have three against one in a debate? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, just for your edification, I don't believe we should even call these things debate. It's show candy. Show candy. A debate would be where you have one or two moderators, you introduce the two that are going to debate, and you ask the questions one at a time, and let the two in the debate have at it. Challenge each other, bring out the facts, challenge their answers, bring up the facts, challenge their, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's real debate. What we're witnessing and watching today has nothing to do with real, honest debate. Anywhere, you look up in the dictionary what would be called debate. We don't find that as debate today at all, with what we see that is promulgated and pushed across the airways as being a authentic debate. It's not a debate. It's just a showpiece. And in this case in particular, we had three against one, three against Trump. And I asked the question, did Comrade Harris already have the questions before the debate? Later in the show, we'll discuss that with our guest today. Why did the debate moderators immediately have fact checks? Have you ever seen a debate where whatever comes up, automatically, they already have the fact checks, they have the answers, that they want to challenge you, challenge Trump in this case, challenge him, the fact checkers say this, this, and this. Why did they already have that available? What is it that gave them the preemptive strike information that would allow them to do that? That's the question that I want someone to answer for me. No fact check on Kamala Harris. Any answer she gave was okay. President Trump had everything that he said to be fine. In fact, this should tell you something. When you find CNN calling out Kamala Harris for dodging the question, I'm looking at a headline. CNN is calling out Kamala Harris for dodging the important questions that she was asked. Ladies and gentlemen, when CNN is challenging the debate and the way Kamala Harris responded, that ought to tell us something in relationship to it. And when we talk about the fact that we have the, how would you say, three against one, did you understand, did you realize, let me read this to you. ABC News moderator, comma, Kamala Harris are sorority sisters. So it turns out that the ABC News debate moderator Lindsay Davis and Vice President Kamala Harris are sorority sisters, and no one in the Republican Party leadership thought that this might be a problem, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at the aftermath of what was a fake, phony, farce debate. We're looking at what's aftermath of the ABC's fake fact checkers that wanted to fact check everything that Trump said, and yet nothing that Kamala Harris said. I find it fascinating. I find it dangerous that we have this on the forefront today. Ladies and gentlemen, my question is this. Was President Trump coached into being docile and quiet? Every time I'd turn around before the debate, even the Republican leadership would say, well, you know, if President Trump comes out and he's calm, he doesn't get in anybody's face, he doesn't shout, he doesn't challenge the Kamala Harris, then we believe he'll come out winning. I believe he was coached into believing that somehow, some way, he just need to be modest, quiet, smile a little, and occasionally answer a question. And I believe we watched the end result of it. Now, I'm not saying that Donald Trump failed the test. I'm not saying that Donald Trump was a loser in the debate. But I'm saying I believe that he was coached incorrectly, inadequately, and wrongly. And I believe that some of the coaches that he had that were coaching him, some of the former candidates, female candidates for the Republican and the Republican Party, helped coach him, and I believe it was incorrect coaching, if you want to my personal opinion of the whole scenario. One of the moderators, being the sorority sister of Kamala Harris, the ABC moderators evidently were not aware that they were showing themselves to be fake, phony, false moderators. The ABC moderators evidently were also defending Kamala Harris's every answer. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what took place with the debate. We're wanting to do a flyspeck analysis of it. And in doing so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to have today a dear friend, a special guest, Congressman Mike Hill. Mike Hill is a former District 1 House of Representatives member here in the state of Florida. We're thankful that he's taken time out of his busy schedule to join us on the broadcast today. And I believe we want to have anybody that can analyze, look at, scrutinize, and look at what is taking place from the perspective of was the debate fair, what took place, where we're headed, etc. I believe the one that can answer some of those questions would be Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. And your monologue was spot on with every comment that you made. I agree with you 100%.
Congressman, if it were not so sad, it'd be funny to recognize and to see in retrospect just how stacked the deck was against Donald J. Trump and some of the answers that was given. I'm looking at an article that says, she's too dumb. No doubt she knew the questions in advance. She had the exact answers so quickly. No way she goes from a word salad every day to this. Call me a conspiracy theorist if you like, but ABC prepped her before the debate. What are your thoughts on that? Is that a solid statement, or is it something that may be incorrect?
No, I think it's accurate. I think it's very accurate. And not only was she coached by ABC, I think she was coached by the moderators. I think they were the ones who coached her. She knew what the question was going to be. They were prepared to go against President Trump. What I think happened was that Trump knew that it was going to be rigged against him. He knew that. And I think perhaps those who were coaching him on a debate were also aware, and I agree with you, they didn't do a very good job if he followed what they told him to do. And I'm really surprised who he had for his coaches. Mm-hmm. I understand it was Tulsi Gabbard and Matt Gaetz. If those were his coaches, that was the mistake right there.
Yes,
there are professionals who coach on how to debate. Dr. Youngblood, I've received training. It's called media training. Three separate occasions over the past about 20, 25 years as an officer in the Air Force, as a State Farm employee, and then as a state representative. I've received media training. And what Trump failed to do is one of the basics that they tell you whenever you do media training. No matter what question they ask you, you always get out your top talking points first.
Yes.
And then answer the question. So matter what question they asked him, you know, and I'm going to admit this, Dr. Youngblood, I didn't watch the entire debate. I watched about 5, maybe 6 minutes of it, got disgusted, and just turned the channel. It was obvious. The part I did watch is when they were discussing the January 6th debacle that happened. And here was Trump going on defensive, saying, oh, I called up Nancy Pelosi, told her to have those guards there. He shouldn't have even gone down that route. And it's easy for me to say that now. You know, I wasn't in the moment of the battle right there in the fight. But he should have said, you know, our economy is tanking. Inflation is outrageous. Unemployment is not where it needs to be, even though your administration has lied about that. We have illegal immigrants coming over, murdering people and eating animals. And that's what you're all about, Kamala Harris. We don't need 4 more years of that. Now, January 6th was a mess, and it was because of Nancy Pelosi. What's your next question? But
Absolutely.
Again, it's easy for me to say that because I wasn't in the battle of the moment. He's been under attack for the past 2.5 years where they want to put him in jail. And so they continued that attack on debate night, and he felt threatened and wanted to defend himself because oftentimes in these trials, and he's not allowed to. They put a gag order on him, or he sits there in court and his lawyers respond for him. Here was an opportunity for him to respond, and he took the bait. And I can almost say justifiably because he has been under attack. But with that media training, he should have gotten his message point across, which I understand he did at the very end when he talked about Kamala. He says, you've been there 3.5 years. It's been a disaster. Why haven't you fixed it yet? That should have been almost the start of every question he said. And then how he intends to fix it, which he has some brilliant ideas. No tax on tips. We're going to deport all the illegals. 100% tax on terrorists from companies that don't want to, or countries that don't want to use the U.S. dollar. He has brilliant ideas, and that's what he should have gotten across instead of trying to defend himself at their accusations. It was unfair. It was 3-1, no doubt. And I believe this too, Dr. Youngblood. I think Trump knew it was going to be 3-1. And he believed, perhaps a little bit arrogantly, that he could still take them on. He could still handle it. He thought just by telling the truth that that would prevail.
Yes.
And he did tell the truth. But when you have three lying against you, who are telling lies against you as you're going on, You have to continue to prevail by telling the truth, which he did.
Yes, and with all candor in relationship to Trump's, what I would simply call flaws and failures in that, going by what I believe was bad coaching for that, you notice Kamala Harris had apparently paid good money for good coaching, and or she was already given the answers. Now, yes, I believe that ABC News can say unequivocally, we did not in advance give her the questions. But I believe within everything in me, it is a mirror of what happened with Hillary Clinton in 2016, where she was given the questions from the head of the DNC that the media had given the head of the DNC that then was passed on to Hillary Clinton. Does that sound reasonably possible for you? And with the secondary question to that, with the earrings that she had on, I've read two or three articles that say that she had a set of transmitter earrings that they were transmitting, able to transmit questions to her or statements to her or answers to her. But it is absolutely clear that it was not the fumbling, word salad Kamala Harris. She had succinct answers, and she followed what you just laid out as debate rules and guidelines, regardless of the questions she was asked. She ignored the question and gave her talking points. But when Trump tried that, they would challenge him, well, you've not answered the question yet. You've not answered the question yet. How do you respond to that? Do you think she had the questions? You think there's the potentiality that someone was transmitting questions or answers to her? What are your thoughts on that? That's out in the marketplace of ideas.
Yes, I agree, Dr. Youngblood. I believe she did have the questions and was coached on the answers before the debate, much like they did with Joe Biden. But Joe Biden did not have the cognitive ability to be able to regurgitate what he had been coached on.
Right.
She was at least able to do that. I mean, anybody with a brain could do that. But it was obvious that she had the questions previously. And as you say, ABC, oh, we didn't give it to her. You gave it to someone else who gave it to her, like they did before. She was well coached. She knew how to respond. When we know, that's why they will not allow her to have these impromptu responses when reporters stop her and say, Miss Vice President, what do you think of? She doesn't even answer. She pretends like she's on the phone and walks off like she's talking to someone on the phone when she's not. But she pretends like she is, like she's so busy and she's taking a phone call and she's walking away not answering, because everyone knows that she does not have the IQ. She's not smart enough to be able to come up with an answer without, as you say, her word salad and the laughing that Putin called that infectious laugh that she has. And so they know that she can't do it. So she was coached very well for this debate, and she was prepared. She was very well prepared. She knew what answers to give. Even when they talked about January 6th, where she responded that Trump caused an insurrection, you know, all the stupid talking points they've been using all along. No, Trump should have responded that I'm going to release your political prisoners on day one. They are coming out of there, because that was a political setup. Nancy
yes.
Pelosi did it, and that's how he should have responded to that. But, you know, I'll say this, Dr. Youngblood. You know, sometimes my wife and I will watch these game shows on TV, you know, Jeopardy or Family
yeah.
Feud or whatever, and they'll give a question, and the answer seems so obvious. But the people who are standing there in front of the cameras and with the light shining on them, they freeze, and they can't give the right answer. And that's why I say that even when you know what the answer should be, when you're in the heat of the battle, when you're there, things change. President Trump was thrown in that Coliseum. as a gladiator against these three lions which were coming after him. And he honestly believed that he was ready for them, and he was prepared, and he was going to slay those lions. But then you get in the heat of the battle, and one of them bites you from behind, and all of a sudden everything changes.
Yes.
And he went back on a defensive. I believe he should have been the Trump of old and came out firing with both barrels.
Absolutely.
Be calm and don't show anger and all that. No, just be Trump, because that's what his base wants.
Absolutely. That's it. That's his flagship. That's his claim to fame. That's his major God-given, I believe, God-given ability. And that's what was missing, in my opinion, on debate night. Congressman Hill, hold your thought a moment. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Everything you all said was true. And I know what I've heard, anyway, that she was in a hotel room, didn't leave out. She's supposed to have been coached by her people. But I think ABC coached her. Coached her and let her know exactly what it was going to ask. And every time President Trump, I still call him President Trump.
Yes.
Will make a comment and then they'll jump on him. But when they ask her questions, they don't say and say, okay, you did not answer the question. And she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't. And I'm like, man, if people can't see that, they're blind like a
deaf. They're deaf, dumb, and blind if they could not see that. But, Kenneth, it's like I remember listening to Rush Limbaugh years ago, and he called them low-informational voters. I believe the Kamala Harris, Comrade Harris team, were playing to the low-information voters, giving them little snippets of word salad and things that she said and position that she's taken for these years. And as a result of that, they'll pick up, well, she said it must be true. She said it wasn't challenged. She said it, and the moderators accepted it, so it must be all right. That is the system that we have today. That's the scene that we have today. And I believe that is the thing that is so it's frightening to me, that is the potentiality of a number of people that will vote, that will believe that, and will vote accordingly. But, Kenneth, the bottom line is we need to pray, keep looking up, and the recognition that in 50-plus days, every citizen that votes will be determining the destiny of America. Go ahead quickly.
Okay, can I ask one? Okay, her daddy was a Marxist, right?
Yes.
I believe so. And her mother, she was from India, across the water. Mm-hmm. And she was in the Hindu, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
Obama was like, okay, he's an American citizen. Mm-hmm. If you're born in America, that's what they need to change that law. That if you're born in America, you're an American. So all of the illegal aliens, if these kids are born here, they become.
Well, Kenneth, as you know, there's a major, major question still that's looming, of which I still believe that Barack Hussein Obama was not a natural-born citizen. I believe that was fake, phony. I believe he had a fake, phony birth certificate, etc. Kamala Harris may be a citizen, but Kamala Harris is not qualified to be the president of America. In fact, Elon Musk made a statement, and I'm looking at the headline. Elon Musk says Kamala Harris is quite literally a communist. Musk has posted on the social media a simple statement regarding his opinion about Kamala Harris, and the leftists are melting down at what he said. Kenneth, our time is up for this portion of the broadcast, but thank you so much for calling. We're interviewing today, talking about with an open mic with Congressman Mike Hill, the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. And we're going to be right back, ladies and gentlemen, right after the top of the hour news, as we continue to talk about on Let's Face the Issues today. The issue that we're speaking on, ABC's fake fact checkers. The things that ABC anchor said, were they true? Why did they have the fact checkers already fact checks already out, that they had them readily available. We're going to discuss that with Congressman Hill right after the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back in just a moment.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St.